Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Today you've tuned in on a good day because we are just about to wrap up our series that we've been in for quite some time called Hebrews Partners with Christ. We have two more episodes in this series. Today we're going to be looking at the very last verses in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, 18 through 25. We're fortunate to have Dr. Ken Yates in the studio with us to discuss these important verses. Here's Ken, Sean, and Bob.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
Guess what, Bob?
What is it, Sean?
We are going to finish this series on Hebrews today.
You are kidding
this
me.
This is the last one.
What, did we start this in 2014 or something?
That's what it feels like. Unless we do an episode after this, just wrapping things up. But this is the last discussion of the book.
However, I think every one of our listeners should get a PhD. If they've made it through the whole program and they've understood what we're saying, we should give them honorary doctorates, maybe DDS. What's the honorary doctor called?
DD.
No S.
DD. So if you want a fake honorary doctor, email
Mom.
Radio at faithalone.org.
No,
we'll send you a nice certificate.
That.
How much
no,
will we charge?
Won't. No, we're not doing
for a
that.
Gift of $500.
No,
we'll give you a fake doctor.
And,
no,
if, you, and if you take that certificate with $5 down to your local coffee shop, they'll give you a cup of coffee.
That's like the medals in the military.
That's right.
Yeah.
Although I think one thing we should do is we should do just like a home study course. You listen to this program, you answer some questions, and we send you like some type of completion certificate.
No, I like that.
Maybe that would work.
That
I'm not
would
sure.
work. We're here to help support the ministry of your local church. Your local church is teaching you the Word of God if it's a good local church. And we're here not to take the place of the local church, but to support and undergird the ministry of your local church.
I like to think of it this way. I mean, if you go to church once a week, and that's the one time you hear the Word of God preached, that's like eating once a week. And you're not going to be healthy if you just eat once a week.
We want to give you these little 15-minute shows each day because they are very nutritious. Is that the word, nutritious?
Nutritious.
Nourishing.
Yeah.
Nourishing.
Yes, they're absolutely. And if you're a theology nerd, they're nerdtricious. Is that?
Nerdtricious.
Is that a new word? I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so we're in Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to finish this off starting at verse 18. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. All right, so prayer is important. No surprises there. Is there anything to discuss there?
Well, I think the idea of having a good conscience before them, I think the idea is that even though this is a book that has had probably the strongest warnings in the New Testament directed toward believers, he has their best interest at heart, and he has a good conscience about that. He wants what's best for them.
That's good.
So I think that's his point.
But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Earlier, the author suggested that he was in chains at some point.
Yes, and he's asking for them to pray. And it's also interesting, he says, pray concerning us. So whoever the author is, there's someone with him, you know, whoever it may be. But he wants to be restored to them. He wants to see them again, which is another indication that he's concerned about them, that he has their best interests at heart.
And here is a benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought up the Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Well, there's a lot in there, isn't there? First off, when he calls God the God of peace, certainly we think of Romans 5:1, that when we're justified, we have peace with God. But here I think the emphasis is more on being at peace with one another, because as we've seen in the closing of the book of Hebrews, there's a strong emphasis of how we treat one another in the body of Christ. And so that's probably the emphasis here, the God of peace. Since we have peace with him through Christ, we should have peace with one another.
Let me make a quick comment there. I saw a chapel speaker at a seminary recently, and he pointed out that the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, forever loved one another before they decided to create. Now, obviously, in no sense did they ever really decide to create, because they're omniscient. And really, there's no sense of time, but God's eternal, and so there's eternity. And they did not need to create in order to express love. And the same thing is true with peace. The Trinity was perfectly at peace among themselves. They didn't need angels or humans to have peace. They didn't create us so that they would be able to have love and experience love or peace. No, God is the God of love. God is the God of peace, and he always has been and always will be.
That's a good point, yeah.
And he's the great shepherd of the sheep.
I think here is another of many Old Testament themes that we see in the book of Hebrews. In the Old Testament, the king was the shepherd of his people. Of course, Jesus is the King of Kings. And so it's not surprising then that he is our great shepherd. He cares for us. He feeds us. He leads us. And that certainly is something we've seen in the book of Hebrews. And I think here when he refers to the blood of Jesus as part of an eternal covenant, this is obviously in the book of Hebrews a contrast with the old covenant that was passing away and that was a shadow that was pointing to the real thing that came. So here we see that even in these closing words, the author has the themes that he has talked about in the book, that the blood of Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats, that he is the king, that in him we have peace, that we're to be at peace with one another.
I might make one comment. We kind of passed over the part where it says, may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying that the Father raised Jesus from the dead, right?
Yes.
But Jesus also said, I have the power to lay my life down and I have the power to take it up. So isn't there a biblical teaching that Jesus raised himself from the dead?
Yes.
And so it's not either or. It may even be that the Spirit, I can't remember a verse that says that, but it may well be that the Spirit was involved in raising him from the dead as well. This could be totally Trinitarian.
And we've seen in other places in the book where the Trinity is involved in the book of Hebrews. So, yes. Mm-hmm.
But it puts the emphasis on the Father raising the Son from the dead because we're in this ministry of the everlasting covenant that is not simply limited to Jesus, but the Father, of course. It comes from the Father who sent the Son and
yes.
sent him to die and raised him from the dead.
Yes, good point.
So now may the God of peace, verse 21, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So now God, now he's emphasizing God's work in what? Developing us as Christians, bringing us to spiritual maturity, equipping us to do his will. Elsewhere, he's kind of emphasized, you know, you lay aside your sins, lay aside the weight, don't let it ensnare you. But now he's kind of emphasizing the God side of things.
Yeah, it's interesting here, though, that he adds through Jesus Christ, which again, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 4, about him being our high priest that we can go to. Through Jesus Christ, we are equipped to do everything that God wants us to do. And again, for readers who are going through difficulties, that would be a great source of comfort. Because when you're going through difficulties, you can easily get to the point where I just can't do this. But it's through Christ that we can.
And is making you complete, is that something like mature? Or is that finishing your ministry, finishing that which God has called you to do? What is the making you complete?
Yeah, that's a good question, Bob. If we're going to go with what he said in Hebrews is to make you mature, because there's this call throughout the book to press on to maturity.
And notice the very end. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, ostensibly, that's only talking about Jesus. But isn't there at least a shadow there of the fact that we can share in that glory, like we see in Matthew 16, verse 27, the Son of Man is coming in the glory of his Father's?
I don't think there's any doubt. Again, as we see these themes, he's talking about themes that he's talked about. The glory here has to include the glory that the metakoi, the partners with Christ, are going to share with him.
And the reader would pick up on this.
Yes, and it's forever and ever. And it goes back to the eternal kingdom that's coming.
But can you see how the person who thinks this glory is getting into the kingdom and staying saved or being saved from eternal condemnation, and so the issue here is going to the lake of fire or being in the kingdom, they're missing the point entirely.
Yes, and I think as we've seen over and over and over again, if we come to the book this way, the book of Hebrews is so deep and so motivational. But if we take that view, Bob, we're going to miss all this great teaching that's in the book of Hebrews that the author has for us.
Amen.
And that's a sad commentary.
Yep.
And I appeal to you, brethren, bear it with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. So it's like, you know, bear with the word of exhortation.
I kind of smile when I hear that. He's got five warning passages, yeah. And he calls it, well, just a little teeny word of exhortation.
Well, if I could just throw in a little trivia in case you're ever on Jeopardy and they ask you this. One of the reasons that those who argue for the book being written by Barnabas is right here, that word exhortation, encouragement. Barnabas means a son of encouragement, and it comes from this. And some have suggested that this is kind of a roundabout way of telling us who the author was, that he was a son of encouragement. He goes, I pray that you put up with this word of encouragement that I've given you.
Well, it's interesting. Verse 23, know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. When I read that, I just thought to myself, when Paul talked about Timothy, it was often as a son.
Mm-hmm.
But here he's referring to Timothy as a brother. Maybe that's something more Barnabas would say. I'm not sure.
Well, and also Paul's in prison when he writes 2 Timothy. But here it appears that Timothy was in prison.
Yeah, so this is the only person that the author mentions. And this is the only place where it says Timothy was imprisoned in the New Testament. And there's some interesting things that people are trying to pick through to who the author might be, and they try to look for clues from some of these things.
Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Can you summarize what
yes.
we've learned here, Bob?
Thank you so much. We have loved this discussion of the book of Hebrews. We've loved this concluding words in the book. And we'll have just a couple more episodes where we talk about some of the themes we've hit. Thank you so much for being with us, Ken.
Oh, it's been great being with you guys.
Thank you guys for that great discussion, and congratulations for reaching the last verses, getting to the end. What a great series this has been. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Well, we've done it. We've both arrived at Friday and at the end of our Hebrews series. Now, we do have one more bonus episode, and we're going to go to that on Monday. We're calling it our Hebrews Lightning Round. We're going to put Dr. Ken Yates to the test. You don't want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.